Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. 2011 is a monumental year for Astoria, Oregon. It's our 200th birthday celebration, and throughout this year, there are bicentennial events and special happenings, one of which takes place next week at the Liberty Theater. Here today to give us updates and tell us about all things Astoria, Oregon Bicentennial is Executive Director of the Astoria Bicentennial Celebration, Paulette McCoy. Thanks for being here today, Paulette.
Hey, thanks, Donna, for asking me.
Well, you're very busy. This is the year.
It's here.
It's here. And you've been working for years for this particular year.
That's right.
Right.
And several years. And there's many, many people working on it. It's not just me.
You are a wonderful coordinator, though. And so before we talk about all the things you have been coordinating, for those people who are not familiar with Paulette McCoy, please tell us about yourself.
Well, thank you, Donna. I'm an Astoria girl. Matter of fact, my roots go way back to the 1870s when my great-grandfather from Ireland came here and settled out in Alney. The three Irish brothers each had 160 acres, and that's where I come from. So Astoria kind of, you know, flows through my veins, in my blood. So I have deep roots here, and I'm very proud of it. And I went to Star of the Sea School and Astoria High School, and then I graduated, and like many in our class thought, oh, we're going to go see the world, and that's what I did, and came back about 6 years ago to care for my lovely mother, Evelyn Hankel, and she lives with my husband, Lee, and I out in Lewis and Clark. So this opportunity came up to be the coordinator for the Bicentennial, and I applied for the job, and I was so happy to get it. So I've been working with about 100 other people for three to four years. It started out with six of us in 2007, and now it's here. And you had a wonderful bicentennial New Year's Eve that you celebrated and had a cake.
Yes, we did. We had a birthday cake at the Red Building.
So you were the very first.
And there are going to be many, many celebrations and many birthday cakes and all kinds of things.
And lots of organizations are putting on events. It's not just the Bicentennial Committee that's putting on events. So there's wonderful things throughout the year for our community and for people around the Pacific Northwest. We hope they come visit us.
Paulette, when you all first started planning and you said, okay, it's going to be our 200th birthday in 2011, you, as I recall, looked back at the centennial. You looked back at the 100th year celebration.
Yes, we did.
And for some ideas, tell us about that. How did...
Well, in 1911, they had a tremendous financial resource. They had a budget of $150,000, which in today's dollars is $3.2 million. Yes. So, wow, just think if we would have that kind of money, what we could do. We don't, but we have a nice budget that we've very carefully planned where all those dollars are going to go. But in 1911, getting back to that, it was like a World's Fair. It went on for 5 weeks. It was a kickoff at their regatta, and then it went on until the first week of September. And everybody from the United States at that time had a representative at our centennial. There was New Jersey, Colorado, I mean, even territories that weren't even states yet, like Arizona and New Mexico, they had representatives. And it was a fabulous event. There was plays, there was musicals, you know, the Bridge of the Gods, and they had the Yakima and Tillamook Indian tribes be part of it, and of course the Chinook and the Clatsop as well. So it was a fabulous event with parades and blowing up Tonkin's ships. And
I think part of the reason is that Astoria played such a pivotal role in the western expansion of the United States in the boundaries, and a lot of people don't realize that people
exactly.
who live here. Why is Astoria
well,
so important?
The significance of Astoria, there was the big conflict where the boundary between the United States and Canada was going to be. And that conflict went on until about in the 1840s. I can't remember the exact date. But it was because of Astoria and the John Jacob Astor Party settled here ahead of the British and the Canadians that established this as a United States settlement is so significant.
And that's why all these dignitaries and people came.
Yes.
And today we have such an overload of information, maybe people aren't aware, because it is the oldest permanent U.S. settlement west of the Rockies. And so the entire West Coast, I think, really could be celebrating this with us.
Well, exactly. And what some people are confused about, which is easily done, is that they say, well, what about all the missions in California? They're way before you. Well, they were actually way before us, but they were at that time held by the Spanish. So what we're talking about is the first U.S. settlement west of the Rockies. So we rejoice with our California neighbors on their wonderful history of their missions and the Spanish settlements there. But we are so unique, and it's so exciting to be living in this historic town.
And I know that on your website you keep you are constantly updating, because there are new things happening. You have some major signature events, and then there are other things happening. So should we perhaps talk about what events are planned throughout this year, and
sure,
then give people the website so they can go online and find out too when there are new things?
Sure. Should I talk about the signature events then?
Please.
Okay, there's signature events and then there's community events. The signature events are those that are actually funded by the Astoria Bicentennial Celebration Committee. And those are, we already started with our lecture series in September, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later, because we have one coming up next week. The Russians are coming. And that's one of our events, the Adventure in History Lecture Series. And, of course, the opening event in May is a signature event, all of that, and the Bicentennial Admiral's Ball, part of the regatta, is a signature event. And then the Super Homecoming in September is another signature event. But also, I'd like to talk about things that we've already done that are part of our legacy.
And also, before we even talk about what you've done, because you've done many things so far, let's talk about the fact that when the city realized this was happening, they turned to the Historical Society. Why don't we talk about who the Astoria Bicentennial Celebration Committee is?
Perfect. Yes, I think it was 2004 or 2005, the city of Astoria asked the Clatsop County Historical Society to take the lead in planning, orchestrating, and implementing the bicentennial. So it was put on their shoulders to be the main organization to make sure that everything is coordinated, and it's been going great with that one organization. And I work as independently. I'm paid staff, and I don't work for the Historical Society. I am an independent contractor for.
But you work closely with Mac Burns,
oh,
and
sure,
Sam at,
oh,
the,
yes,
Historical Society. And
we coordinate everything,
yes,
together.
All the museum,
yes,
exhibits, all,
right,
of that.
Exactly.
And I think another thing, a lot of people say, oh, gosh, there are centennials, there are sesquicentennials, there are bicentennials. So a lot of times we just say, it's Astoria's 200th birthday.
Yeah, that's the easiest way, because some people will come into the store and they'll say, well, what's a bicentennial? Is that like 100 years or is that 50? And it's confusing, because some people don't know what bicentennial means. Yeah, it's our 200th birthday. It sounds better that way. I mean, it's short,
yeah,
and sweet,
simpler,
and happy,
easy to understand, right?
And it's simple, and, yes,
and we're having a birthday party all year long, and there are all these great events. So, what's already happened, Paulette?
Well, last year, one of our major sponsors, Pacific Power, who had their 100th birthday, which started in Astoria, they wanted to give Astoria a gift, so they gave us the funds to plant 200 trees all around the city. So that was done on Earth Day 2010. Because that was Pacific Power's birthday. So that was done, and Arlene Lemire was the chair of that, and she, oh my gosh, she did a fabulous job with Linda Brim and Luke Colvin and people from the staff of Pacific Power, and lots of volunteers. We planted all those trees all around the city, and we did get the 200 that we wanted to achieve. Also, in the Education Committee, we published a wonderful fourth grade local history book. And that was written by John Gutenberger, our local historian. And John just does everything.
He does. Yeah, he's a wonderful person.
Oh, yeah.
So
he was the author. Yeah. And Betsy Ellerbrook from the Maritime Museum was also the editor. And she did, she's also a former fourth grade teacher. So she was able to do the teacher's activity book as part of it. It's actually a CD. It's not a book. So, and we had wonderful illustration by Roger McKay. So that book got published and put into schools in September, and we're so proud of that.
And that book is for sale at the Trading Post. So you actually have an office and a store, a retail store, which has incredible gifts, which are all about Astoria.
That's right. And that's on the 12th Street docks right now. We are going to be moving. So
you'll be moving right downtown. You'll come back after you've moved
in
the next month or so.
Exactly.
And tell us your new location. But you'll be downtown. And
right.
So you can always find out on the website where you're located. But so the Astoria Bicentennial Trading Post has gifts and jewelry and books. And so that book, the fourth grade book, which actually I found great reading because it's so clear, so easily understandable.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because even though it's a fourth grade local history book for their curriculum, it's really a book for all ages.
It is. It's absolutely,
Learn so much.
And the illustrations
Astoria
are great.
And you can read it, just lickety-split. And it's just beautiful.
And you also have published the official Bicentennial Commemorative Program, and that's also for sale.
Yes. And that's put together by Brian Pentala. I have to brag about all these people that have done this fabulous work. Speaking of bragging, and we also did a historic documentary that Donna Quinn was part of, and that with Spence Palermo. That is a wonderful documentary that we've also is part of our legacy. So we're really proud of the things that we've already done.
You planted the trees,
yes,
and you have
and
produced
film.
A film and,
right,
and several books. And
we're also going to have the restoration of the fountain from 1906. That's part of our legacy.
The Shively Fountain.
Yes. And also we really want to help with any way we can with the Garden of Surging Waves because the Chinese were a big, big part of Astoria's history, and it's going to be a beautiful park. And we don't have a lot of funding to help right now, but I'm sure there's things will bubble up and there'll be ways that we can help them.
It will come because wasn't the Astoria Column the legacy from the Centennial?
Well, sort of. Now, when the Centennial was done in December 1812, when they were putting everything kind of together and doing their records and finances.
Oh, 1912.
Yeah, because it was over. The committee
1911.
Met
okay.
the whole other year.
Uh-huh.
And it was December 1912 that they said, wow, we have $6,000 left after they had, paid everything.
Oh,
and so
okay.
It took them almost a year to get everything, calculated. So the next year they had this money and they said, gosh, what are we going to do with it? And so the committee decided to buy Coxcomb Hill. So that's where we get later in the 1920s, where then they start building the column. So it started with them purchasing that land. So who knows what could happen?
Exactly.
And here and now. So we could actually have something, wonderful. And of course we do. We have so many things wonderful, but the Chinese park, we hope that we can help with that.
The Garden of Surging Waves,
yes.
I know that the mayor is certainly feeling that is just a great legacy project. I know before we take a little station ID break here in a second, I think we need to mention that next week is this fabulous lecture at the Liberty Theater. It's next Thursday night, isn't it?
Yes, it's Thursday night, January 27th, and the doors open at 6:30, and we ask everybody just to head right to the beautiful McTavish Room, where you will have these fabulous desserts, Marionberry Cobbler and Russian tea cakes, because the talk's going to be Russian, and put on by the Wet Dog Cafe. They do wonderful desserts. So they're going to have that dessert bar where you can select all that and have coffee and tea and listen to beautiful classical music by our very own local Konamichi chamber players. So it's a beautiful setting. And so you enjoy your dessert and listen to the music. And then at 7:30, Professor Eifler will be in the body of the theater talking about the Russians and their interest in the mouth of the Columbia. And names like Baranov and Bering, of course, we know the Bering Strait and the Bering Island, names like that, and Shikhalov, and I'm not pronouncing these right, but Razanov, and very, very colorful characters. That there's even a wonderful love story that he's going to talk about between Razanov.
See, history can be so fascinating.
Passionate.
Yes. And as you learn where one piece goes and other pieces begin to fit into place, and suddenly you have a much more holistic view of how things really were in the world.
Well, it was so close to the Russians actually discovering Astoria first. And you'll hear all about that. In 1806, one of these explorers came to the mouth and they couldn't get in.
Weather, I tell you,
yes.
Just one day.
They couldn't get in, mm-hmm. So they gave up. So we all could be, I don't know, speaking Russian, drinking vodka and everything here.
Yeah, well, all right. All right, yeah, hopefully you're not drinking vodka at 9:45 in the morning this morning, but hopefully you're enjoying listening to Talk of Our Towns with Paulette McCoy. I'm Donna Quinn, and Paulette is my guest today. She is speaking with us about all things Astoria, Oregon Bicentennial, which means it is our 200th birthday. Astoria, Oregon, happy birthday. Happy 200 years. And there's a lecture next week on Thursday night at the Liberty Theater, and you can get tickets at the door, correct?
You can get tickets at the door. You can get them at the box office at the Liberty. They're open today.
And you can also, do you sell them at the Trading Post?
I leave that to the Liberty to do all those sales.
Okay, great. All right. Yeah. So at the Trading Post, you have the programs and you have postcards which talk about the events. So why don't we talk about the idea that now you have a lecture next week, and then what's the next signature event?
The next signature would be the opening event in May.
The opening ceremony in May. And
right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
That will kick off with James Rhonda. And he's coming here from Oklahoma, and he's the author of Astoria's Empire. So he'll kick off the activities with that lecture. And then there's so many things. There's art exhibits opening at the Maritime Museum and at the Heritage Museum. There's quilt show. There's Chinook Indian cultural event at the Liberty, music and dancing. The tall ships are coming. There's so many things.
Right. Yeah. Oh, no. There's trading in the river. There are dignitaries
mm-hmm.
coming.
Yes.
There are. Is that the Dragon Parade and
yes.
and the cultural fair,
mm-hmm.
too?
Mm-hmm. The cultural fair where we're celebrating Astoria's cultural diversity, 200 years of cultural diversity. So that'll be at the bus station terminal. We're going to have the booths set up there. So that is going to be a very, very fun weekend. And we've started, we've invited the president and the first family, and who knows, they may come. And of course, the governor and the senators and other state and national leaders, we hope will come that.
And
on
what
that
are
Saturday.
The dates? What are the dates there for the May opening ceremony?
It's May 19th to the 22nd.
Okay.
And so it really starts on Thursday.
Okay.
With the lecture and then Friday.
So right here, if you're listening and you are in this location or you're within driving distance, that's a fabulous thing to be part of. That's a wonderful historical moment in time that you can participate in with your children and all members of your family and your friends. And there will be people coming from all throughout the Northwest and the United States for this event. But certainly how fortunate that we can just essentially walk down the hills and go to these things ourselves.
Right. Yeah.
Those of us who live here.
Yeah. We're very excited. And then there's all other community events that are happening before that. Of course, the Fisher Poets, you know, next
yes.
month. So there's all kinds of things that are
right.
community
and
events.
Yeah, any event
the
that
Craft Festival.
Right,
sure.
Exactly. So any event that normally takes place, such as the Fisher Poets, which has been taking place for, I think this is the 14th year?
I think so.
Now, this is the Bicentennial Fisher Poets, and
right.
it's the Bicentennial Crab Fest. It's,
exactly.
It's the 200 years. So there always will be that makes it special because it is this year, 2011. And then after the opening ceremony in May, there's something going on this summer, and that's the next signature event, which is Regatta, correct?
That's correct, yes. So, but in between that, of course, there's a music festival and there's concerts at the Liberty. So there's still, those are all the community
right.
events in between.
And there will be banners hanging up in downtown Astoria, correct?
Yes, we're waiting for the winds to die down before we put the banners up, because the banners are not cheap, you know, and they're going to be beautiful. We're hoping to get the banners up by March 1st. So before spring break, we will have beautiful downtown Astoria dressed up.
All right, good. And people are tidying up, and I can see there's a lot of pride in the community because
yes.
they know that the spotlight of attention is going to be on Astoria.
Well, another thing, Donna, in 1911, they had a campaign to beautify the city, and they asked everybody to plant aster flowers in their gardens. And even though it's spelled A-S-T-E-R, it's the flower that they wanted to have their official centennial flower. So we're hoping that people do that again. That'd be fun.
That would be great. And I do think that there's going to be a lot of media attention, a lot of national press and even international press because of Estuary's place on the world stage in terms of its historical significance. And one thing I want to mention to those of you who are listening is budget travel. Right now, Astoria is in second place as one of the coolest small towns in America. And you can vote, and you can call Regina at the Chamber of Commerce, and if you just go on your computer, you can vote. What is it? Every 5 hours, Paulette?
Every 5 hours on your computer, you can vote. And so, we're still, I think we're in second place, and it's...
And we have another, 10 days or so to...
I think it goes till February 11th.
Okay, good. So really, I would encourage everyone listening to... call the chamber or go on to the chamber website and find out how to vote for a budget travel. Vote for Astoria as your favorite cool small town in America, because that will then also make more people aware of the rich treasures that are here and bring them into the community. And I think as people come into the community and they see the Garden of Surging Waves and these other things, that they might well say, I want to donate. I want to be part of this legacy here for Astoria.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, and the regatta, Lord Astor's coming over?
Yes, Lord Astor, who was here for the sesquicentennial in 1961 with his father and grandfather, and he was 14 at the time. So, John Jacob Astor VIII is his title. Lord Astor of Hever is his British title, but he said, Paulette, in the United States, I'm known as John Jacob Astor VIII. So he's coming with his son Charles, and they'll be part of the regatta, part of the parade, and other events, and then there'll be a ball that evening in the water with a little Portland cruise ship. So he's coming, and we're very excited to meet him.
Oh, yes. Yes. I mean, and for him to see, because if it weren't for John Jacob Astor's vision and mm-hmm. his bravery, his risk-taking to say, I'm going to try to get out there first and establish a base there. So it's thanks to John Jacob Astor.
Yeah, and Lord Astor is honoring his ancestry by coming.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's, you know, very busy in Parliament, and he's really... taking time to do this, which is really wonderful.
Now, Paulette, a lot of people have been asking about the Reba McEntire concert, because the regatta is when John Jacob Astor VIII will be here, Lord of Hever, and there are a lot of bicentennial events. The regatta is, I guess, technically a signature event because of this, of the bicentennial. But people are confused about the Reba McEntire concert. Why don't you explain about that?
Sure. You know, we're so excited that other organizations are excited about our birthday and want to put on, you know, wonderful events like the music festival. You know, they put on bringing in musicians from all over the world. And the Reba McEntire concert is another opportunity for people that maybe don't like opera or classical music and really, really embrace country Western singing. So it is another avenue for the people that love country Western music. And we're very, very excited that this organization, it's really another nonprofit organization that's bringing Reba into town.
So it's not an official Astoria Bicentennial Celebration signature event. It is a separate community event that's
yes.
being put on by some folks within
yes.
the regatta. Is that
right.
correct?
It, yeah. If you think of it, it's exactly like the music festival. The music festival is a nonprofit, and they bring in they have their budget, and then there's the Reba concert that people are concerned about the cost. That's unfortunate, because a lot of budgets for other things, you know, aren't put out there. So it's kind of difficult to, you know, put that amount out there and say, gosh, we could have spent it on the hole in the ground. Well, that is totally different funding and money and it's
right. Well, you don't have control. If someone
yeah,
says I want to put out this event and I'm going to do this myself, that you don't have control over that. That's someone
right.
else is saying, I'm choosing to bring Reba McEntire here. This is my contribution. I want to do this. So these other people are doing that,
yes.
and it's not something that you are
yeah.
officially yourself doing.
Right. We're very excited that they're bringing this, because it's going to bring lots of people to town.
And those people may decide to move here. They may decide to invest here. They may decide to
they're going
to
spend
to
their
visit
money
with
here.
Their families.
Yes.
Yes, and they will leave. That's right.
They'll
Carrie
definitely
Wilson,
spend
they,
their money here.
That's exactly
and
right.
I just. I say kudos to Eric Paulson for bringing Reba into town.
So. And then we have a few minutes left here. So, and then you have another big event happening, the homecoming, Super Homecoming.
Yeah, the Super Homecoming will be in September. And that's going to have a fur trade encampment, a historical reenactment of the early 1800s. And then they'll be celebrating 100 years of naval aviation out at the Coast Guard station. For those that like that, there's something for everybody.
There is something. You've arranged something for families and for history buffs and for people who like music and people who like cultural, you know, multicultural
right.
events, all kinds of things.
And Judy Collins, that's another one.
Oh, we didn't talk
yes.
about that. Judy
She's
Collins
coming
is
for the
coming.
Super Homecoming.
Baby boomers rejoice.
Yes. So there's music for everybody.
There is. There's something for everyone.
Right.
Exactly.
And so we are so excited about what other organizations are doing.
We only have a couple of minutes left, Paulette. Let's give people your website and let's talk again about the event coming up next week.
Okay. Our website is very easy. It's Astoria200.org. And on there, you'll see all the events as they unfold, any updates or any changes. So check that out. And we're also on Facebook. So Facebook, you can also vote for
the coolest small town. Oh,
yes.
Go to the Facebook
right.
site.
If you are a Facebook person, then you can also go to the Bicentennial site. And then right on the top, it says Facebook. And you just click on that and it'll take you right to the site and you can vote.
And there you can vote. And also for birthday gifts and for other upcoming places, if you want a place to shop that has incredibly cool Astoria commemorative items and really fun things you have and books and
well, I think
music,
your favorite
everything.
Is the socks. Donna loves the socks.
I buy the Astoria Bicentennial socks for everybody.
Yes.
They're so
well, and the ornament that just
and the
flew
ornament
off,
yes
flew off
exactly
the shelf, yeah.
So you can go to the Trading Post, which is right next to Baked Alaska, and next Thursday
I hope to see everybody at the Liberty Theater
for
that's January 27th with Professor Eifler. And the Russians are coming.
Okay. We want to know all about what's happening with the Russians.
Yes.
And I want those Russian tea cakes, too.
Yes.
Paulette, thank you so much. And I will look forward to having you on the show again in a very short period of time within the next
okay.
month or so. Let's have another update on
Let's do that.
Things that are going on, because this is, this is just a rare opportunity for all of us to be part of this 200th birthday for Astoria. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Donna.
Terry Wilson, engineer extraordinaire and ham radio extraordinaire as well. Ah, yes, Paulette. He's the one who knows about ham radio things. Okay, thank you so much. And I want to thank local talented banjo instructor Michael Brunn for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, focus on those good things, on feeling good, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you. For doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.
Talk of our